the most exciting event of the year. WrestleMania 4, the whole world will be watching. WrestleMania 4!
Welcome, everyone. It is nice to be back on the airwaves with you. I am your host of AWI Pod, a work in progress, Brent Piles, and we are finally here for It's Giggle Mania 3. It's been a long road, but we're finally back. And since it's such a festive occasion, you know, Giggle Mania, I had to get a few top-notch guests, one of them, of course, being my buddy Jeremy from Piece of Business Podcast. Jeremy, how are you doing?
Doing great, Brent. Thanks for inviting me and my co-host partner back to the show. We appreciate it.
It's always a good time. Make sure you check them out. You guys come out. You guys are usually out every Sunday, usually. It's usually about 11 a.m. For you central timers, usually. Make sure you check them out every Sunday. And since you do a great intro for our other guests on the show, I'm going to have you do it again, of course. So could you please introduce our other guest?
Absolutely. Joining Brent and I on this podcast extravaganza, this Giggle Mania 3, 4, 5, 6. Who knows what number it is? Because we don't know what show number we're on over at Piece of Business. Don't expect us to do math. He is the barroom brawling, disco dancing, dynamite stretching, intercontinental playboy, folks. He's more over than Giggle Mania 3. He is at GA WrestleNut, Glenn Abbott. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm pretty good, and unlike you two, early morning, I'm lunchtime here, so I'm into the adult beverages.
I told Ben before we started this thing, I said, you know, if even in Nebraska, if you start drinking at 7 a.m., you got a problem. So
that is a problem. That is normal around here on certain very Catholic holidays that usually happen sometime around early March. It's a nonstop Mardi Gras sort of breakfast beer and whiskey situation and wine.
The only exception to that rule was if the beloved Nebraska Cornhuskers had an 11 a.m. game and then everybody's drinking at 7 a.m. Here's a sidebar story from last season. They opened up the season against Ohio State and they played at 11 a.m. and I tried to pretend like I was 20 years old again and I started drinking at about 8 a.m. and at about 2:30 I was sick. So I learned that day. You can't drink with the young guns anymore, Mr. Piles.
None of us are as young as we used to be. That is for sure. We must know our limits.
That's absolutely right. You are right. Where were you on that day, Jeremy? I needed that advice.
I was probably drunk.
That was so. Anyhow, we're going to watch WrestleMania 4 here. We're going to watch, well, this is going to be part one, of course. We're going to watch a little bit of WrestleMania 4 here, have a little bit of fun. And if you want to watch along with us, make sure, as Jeremy said before we got going here, get your cock up and fire it up on Peacock. And we'll watch along together. It's going to be a good time. Are you fellas ready?
Yep.
Let's do it.
All right, this is a spec card.
3, 2, 1, and pow. There we go. It is a really stacked card. Some people say maybe one of the worst WrestleManias ever. I don't know if I tend to agree with that. We're going to find out here, aren't we?
No, this was not one of the worst WrestleManias ever. Like Glenn said, this card was loaded. There was a lot of talent on this card.
A lot of Hall of Famers on this card, absolutely. Yep. This was at the Boardwalk Hall. I refuse to call it the other plaza. I will not say that name here. I'm sorry, I will not do it. It is at the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey. The attendance was 19,199. The total gate that they made on this show was $1.4 million. So, there's that.
That was a lot of money back then. That's a lot of money now, but you know, you adjust for inflation, and that number even looks even more impressive now.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna do that calculation because, like you said, I'm not doing math.
I know, didn't we? We mentioned that before. Don't ask us to do math.
Right. I don't even. That's why I put these things in part one, twos, and threes because I can remember one, two, or three, but I otherwise forget about number and episodes.
Mean Gene.
Mean Gene and all of his glory.
Do you, Glenn? Do you, when you were disco DJing, did you have a jacket like that?
I did. For weddings.
I did not expect that.
Me neither. I was like, oh,
not like that one. No, not like that one. That Mean Jeans. Not like that one.
Were you wearing anything?
No,
like
I'm talking about her jacket.
You're talking about her jacket. No, I did know a DJ that did, but he's another story for another time.
That's a totally different podcast than this one.
It's definitely a different podcast.
That's DJ Glenn Evan After Dark, if you will.
I keep on threatening
him. Don't ask him what happens underneath the DJ table.
Oh, yeah, no, you do not want to go there at all.
Nah.
Gladys Knight here singing America the Beautiful. Do you guys know why they always sing America the Beautiful instead of, you know, the Star Spangled Banner?
Nope.
I want to say I did know that at one point, but I can't think of what it is.
God damn it, pal. I like that version better. That's why.
Mm.
Yeah, Vince likes America the Beautiful better, according to Bruce Pritchard, which he said this on his podcast, that Vince likes that better, and that's why they always use it.
All right.
Good enough. It is Vince's baby.
That's right.
He gets to make the rules.
That's right.
Now, Glenn, we just had our July 4th celebration. Glenn, is seeing any of these all this prideful American imagery, does that trigger you and your people at all?
No.
I absolutely loved on your show how you just kept digging at him on that on the 4th of July episode. every chance you got, you were like, "Oh, you guys can win soccer, but you can't beat a bunch of farmers."
Hey, tea sucks. We prefer coffee. We're getting rid of that tea.
I'll drink of that. Were you a big fan of Gladys Knight and the Pips there, Jerry?
Not particularly, no. Not particularly. What about you, Glenn?
I like some of their stuff, but not. I wouldn't say I was a fan.
She's a 7-time Grammy Award winner. She was nominated for 22 in her career. And she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996. That music's a little too old for me. I guess I was very young when she was popular, so I really don't even think I could sing any of her songs.
Yeah. Oh, look at these two.
Jesse Ventura looking like a fucking zebra cake.
His camera. Jesse's camera is. Crocodile Geezer. Crocodile Dundee.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's
it. You got a big battle royal coming up to start the show, too, so that's going to be fun.
Jesse looking like he blew up in a pimp's closet or something. I don't know what's going on. Jesse was the man, though. I mean, not the best wrestler in the world. I mean, he was fine as a wrestler. Not great. Fine was about all you can say. But, I mean, goodness gracious, man, could he talk.
Right. Imagine the outrage now of Petter and those sorts. You go on telly now wearing a zebra.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this, I absolutely would see the Young Bucks wearing this outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Or as I affectionately call them, the YBs, because why do they be?
Yeah.
They don't need to be.
Don't even get me started on those guys. That's a totally different podcast here.
Yeah, we'll discuss him tomorrow.
Bob Uecker here.
Mr. Baseball.
Right.
So in the big battle royal here, we got Boris Zukov, B. Brian Blair. What does the B stand for? I never knew. Does anybody know?
B.
I don't
know.
Brian Blair, is that what we're going for? I don't understand. I just don't get it.
I don't know.
Danny Davis. No, I'm not wearing a sweatshirt, George the Animal Steel. I look like the kid from Bad Grandpa. I'm sorry, Bad Santa Harley Race. Hillbilly Jim. Jacques Rougeau. Jumping Jim Runzel, who could no longer jump. We got Jim Neidhart, Jim Powers, the Junkyard Dog, Ken Patera, Nikolai Volkov, Paul Roma, Ray Rougeau, Ron Bass, Sam Houston, and Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief's father. So star-studded.
Man, it really is. I mean, there's a lot of hosses in this ring right now.
I can't see anything over the size of War Zukov's head. It's blocking out the entire screen.
That's been tag teams. It's teams.
Oh yeah, this is like the golden age of tag teams.
All in their matching gear. You know they're a tag team. You can see.
They should have matching gear. If you're a tag team, you should have matching gear. It's in the wrestling rule.
I hate random tag teams winning tag team championships. I hate it.
Bad news, Brown. Look at Sam Houston.
Doing a little jig. I didn't even have Bad News Brown on my rundown. I feel bad. He's probably going to come back from the dead and kill me. So good night, guys.
that may come back to haunt you.
It may very well. Outlaw Ron Bass, huge star in the South, maybe? I don't know.
Oh yeah, no, Bass. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. He was he worked a lot of different territories around here and very, very over for sure.
Even I knew him before he came to WWF.
Oh, Hillbilly Jim, no! I'm having flashbacks to the Hall of Fame speech.
I just checked on Peacock. He is still talking.
He's definitely the one that knows what's in the lockbox.
Oh, yeah. He's
got to know what's in the lockbox. There is nothing you can watch on Peacock or a network, as we've still got, from the first 10 years of WWF without him being on it somewhere.
It's a very, very good point.
Everything is excellent. Jim Dana's on somewhere.
I just randomly turned on like the very last episode of Primetime Wrestling, and he was there. It was him, Vince McMahon, Jerry the King Lawler, and Bobby the Brain Heenan. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, Vince McMahon, a hillbilly, a weasel, and a king walk into a bar. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Vince was always a fan of the hillbilly gimmick because, like, when he was the stories were when he was growing up watching wrestling, there were some hillbilly gimmicks that would work in New York, and he just got such a kick out of the hillbillies. He always loved them, and I mean, that's why you saw Hillbilly Jim have such a run, and you saw the Godwins later on. I mean, he always loved the hillbilly gimmick.
So two people, see, the Tribal Chief's father, Sika, is out of here. He's gone. Sam Houston, who got a lot of DUIs, is also out of the
room.
Not Harley, no.
Uh-oh.
Take the legitimate badass out first.
Yeah, exactly.
Smart way to go, definitely.
There's a few legitimate badasses in here, though.
Oh, yeah.
Harley's still in there.
Yeah,
Harley's a badass now, and he's dead.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
Anytime I see a battle royal, I'm reminded of what it was, either Luke Gallows or Carl Anderson about a battle royal. It's just all it is good brothers exchanging forearms. That's all it is.
I love that. I haven't heard him say that, but that's a great analogy.
Just exchanging forearms.
The animal looks like he's wearing a sweater more than ever.
Reminds me, I need to shampoo my carpet. My goodness. you normally eat some fried chicken or something and you get some, you know, crumbs on your shirt or something. He's got a whole ass pair of wings stuck in his chest hair somewhere.
Yeah. And a whole bag of fucking Cheetos.
No kidding.
He's got this thing figured out though. He hasn't even gotten the ring yet. So call him what you want, but he is a hairy smart bastard, if you know what I mean.
No, not the anvil. Oh.
The anvil is out of here. I heard a story that Jim the Anvil Neidhart one time in a hotel in California tied a bunch of bed sheets together, strapped a fire extinguisher on his back, and swang from one balcony to the other when he was in college. Could you imagine that sight?
I don't know if that's true or not, but I hope it is.
It better be.
That's outstanding. That's too messed up to not be true. You can't make that up.
Imagine the sight. A red-bearded man with a bedsheet swinging from the balcony with a fucking fire extinguisher. Can you imagine?
Is it a bird? Is it a plane?
No, it's a very drunk large man.
Imagine that crashes into your hotel room. What do you do then?
Yeah, how do you call the office? Like, what do you? Well, you call the front desk.
There's a giant man who looks like a starfish in my room. He just crashed through the window. Is he a fireman? What's going
just,
on? Should I?
And he's just laughing. He's just laughing. He's just laughing.
Oh, I have on steroids. Ron Bass is out of here. Oh, Joe's Animal Steel is just taunting everyone who gets thrown out. That's all he's doing.
I don't know why nobody's actually done this at a battle royal. He's just stood on the outside pulling people out. Because eventually the last person's got to reach over the ropes to try and get you into the ring. And he just pull him out as well. You won it.
There you go. Well, wasn't it Lawler, Jerry Lawler, or The Miz, or one of them, or both of them would do the hide Lawler. Under the ring or Lawler. The Royal Rumble or something?
Lawler's done it a couple of times.
I think Lawler did it first. Because I remember he did it in the 1996 Royal Rumble. I remember Shawn Michaels going and finding him and pulling him out. But Hornswoggle hitting under there, The Miz, it's everybody's gimmick now. Yeah. Oh, the hillbilly's out. Hillbilly's out. On to make his Hall of Fame speech. He's on his way now. Actually started right after WrestleMania 4.
I was in the building for that, and let me tell you, I wanted to kill myself.
I bet you did. I bet you did.
It was rough.
It sounds terrible.
Danny Davis.
In my opinion, Dangerous Danny Davis is the greatest referee in the history of referees.
He's perhaps the greatest heel referee for sure.
Definitely. I'm a big Danny Davis guy. If you've ever listened to the show before, you'll know that I love me some Danny Davis.
Love some Danny Davis.
Certainly does.
Thanks,
so what year? I get my WrestleManias and my years confused. What year was this?
1988 would have been the year.
Okay.
I was a ripe old 3 years old at this point.
Oh, come on. Harley and the Dog. That's what I want to see.
That's right. That's a main event in any territory.
There you go.
Absolutely.
This was 1988. So 5 years before this would have been the biggest match in the world.
Oh, definitely. Oh, Nikolai.
Especially if Nikolai. Yeah, especially if they had a Harley JYD match in Louisiana in 1985, biggest match in the world.
Absolutely.
Never happened.
Tim Patera just got thrown out there, and if you didn't know, he beat the bejesus out of a bunch of police officers after throwing a rock through a window out of McDonald's. So if you didn't know that already, I don't know.
I did know that. he had a partner with him. Who was it? He was a non-American. It was
a Japanese guy. And I heard a story about that too. That when the police came, they thought he was a Spanish gentleman, so they started speaking Spanish to him. Spanish. He's so fucking confused. He's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Masa Saito, was it?
Maybe I don't know, but yeah, he had a partner in that endeavor.
I should have looked. I'm upset that
imagine you're working at McDonald's and Kim Patera and his buddy show up and you refuse to give them any food.
Ooh.
That takes some grapefruits, pal. You know what I mean? Yes, sir. You have all the burgers, all the fries. Just don't
kill me. Yeah, right.
Just don't kill me.
Exactly. So we're down to the final three here. It's Bret Hitman Hart, Bad News Brown, and JYD. And it looks like Bad News and Bret have made a Canadian pact here to beat this guy
That's
up.
Right. That's right. Bad News Brown, formerly Bad News Allen, worked in the Stampede territory with Bret's father, Bret's father.
And I'm still scared of him today, even though he's no longer living.
There you go. Absolutely. This was, still prime, tag team heel Bret Hart here.
Yeah.
You could tell back then how good this guy was going to be, but he was still in that tag team. They hadn't broken him loose yet.
Man, like, I know a lot of people say, like, when they were kids, they didn't, like, appreciate Bret Hart. But when I was a kid, I loved Bret Hart. He was, like, he was one of my favorites. So, when I had somebody tell me one time that Bret Hart was overrated, and I just thought that was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard. overrated Bret Hart? Are we talking about the same person?
Yeah. Well, it's crazy because you knew when you were going to get a Bret Hart match, it was going to be a different sort of match. It wasn't going to be silly or cartoony in any way or anything like that. It was going to be a wrestling match that was believable in every way. So, yeah, you knew when Bret Hart was coming to the ring, it was going to be a different kind of thing.
And look at all the people who people say aren't good matches, like not good workers like Kevin Nash. Bret Hart had two extremely good matches with Kevin Nash, probably the two best matches he's had at the Royal Rumble in 95, and then the one that no DQ match they had at Survivor Series. So, I mean, Bret Hart's one of the greatest of all time.
It's absolutely. Yeah, that's a trash opinion. Oh, they got rid of the baby face.
Yep.
Interesting booking here. Two heels.
What are they going to do? They're going to share the prize money?
Heels don't share the winner's purse. We need to bring back more winner's purses.
They do. Like $10,000 battle royal.
That's right. Oh!
They would be like, why does... Uh-oh. Oh, bad news turned on him. I got to see. I got to see. I saw this coming.
See, it's smart, though. It's smart, though, because you get the little baby face heat on Bret Hart here. Now you got people wanting to get behind him. Yeah. Planting the seeds. That's all they're doing is planting the seeds.
I believe they turned baby face after this, didn't they? I think this was around the time.
It was close to this time.
Bad news, Brown. You should have. Bret Hart's an idiot. Well, I don't know why he fell for this. He should have known bad news. He's bad news, Brown. His name is bad news. Bad news.
That's exactly what he says on the team.
Boom. There he goes.
That's it. The bad news, Brown, is the winner of the Battle Royal. Young Jimmy Corderas doesn't want to his hand raise. Look at that trophy, pal. My God.
That's quite a trophy.
Way better than the one Braun Strowman got.
Yeah. Yes. Or the way better than the one that the women got. Remember the ovary trophy?
Yeah, that was the worst. Brutal. That was the worst. That fucking trophy is taller than he is. Oh, let's back up now.
It's no wonder they didn't...
Go ahead.
No wonder they didn't battle for it very often.
Who wants to carry that through an airport?
Well, that's it. It's the one problem that NXT UK are having with the Heritage Trophy. Is it so big it needs somebody else to carry it to the ring for them?
Yeah. Oh, well, fuck, you don't have to carry shit to the airport now because he's ripping this shit apart.
There you go.
When they first decided that they were going to have trophies and have belts, somebody went for a reason. We'll have something that's easy to carry.
Right.
We'll have a belt rather than have a trophy.
Could you imagine if they still had trophies and everybody brought their fucking trophies to the show and carried them around with them? And if you bring a wrestling belt to a title of a wrestling show, you should have to defend that motherfucker. Goddamn it!
That's right. If you are challenged, that's right.
Otherwise, don't fucking bring it. No, but you're not the world champion of anything.
I know people do that kind of thing. I can understand bringing your belt to like a convention or an autograph show. You want to get somebody to sign it. I mean, that's cool. I understand that. But yeah, I can't imagine toting that thing around for 3 hours at a show. That's crazy.
A funny story. So I went to WrestleMania 26 and I went to Access and a young Frank the Clown was in front of me. This was before he was painting his face. He was in front of me in the line for Matt Hardy, and he was very upset because he had like a roller bag with him with like a bunch of shit that he wanted him to sign. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, you can only have him sign one thing. And he was very upset, like visibly complaining to all of his friends about how they didn't tell me I could only bring one thing. I can only bring one thing. And he kept going on and on about it. I wanted to punch him in the face. So ever since that day, I've hated that fucking clown.
What a dork.
Nothing's changed then. Everybody still wants to punch him in the face.
I saw him in the front row of the AEW show with that fucking Brock Lesnar guy. I was slapping both. Change your shirt, motherfucker.
Yeah, really.
Anyway. Beautiful scene here from the I don't even remember what the fuck I called it anymore. The not Trump Plaza. That's what it is.
There you go.
There you go. Just in case you were sure.
Boardwalk Hall. That's what it's called. It's called the Boardwalk Hall. There we go. I remember.
They packed them in there, though. They sold that sumbitch out.
Talking about belts, it's my one regret of never getting to a WrestleMania so far is got nothing to do with actually seeing the wrestling. It was not having to have a go at the NAI 24/7 title.
The NAI hardcore belt?
Hardcore title. Yeah. Hardcore title.
Now that belt was defended constantly.
All the time, yeah. Never stopped. Robin Leach is out here for the lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Oh,
champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
You got any Robin Leach stories, Glenn? Aren't y'all from the same neighborhood?
Nah.
I thought they went to high school together.
Yeah.
Definitely not from my neck of the woods.
Jeremy lied to me. He told me that you guys were in high school.
Well, you know, when the Armbar Abbott movie comes out, there's going to be a lot of creative license. So,
Glenn, who should play you in the movie about you?
Oh, it's Idris Elba.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. Will there be any footage of shooting teenagers in a tree at a paintball? listen to the Piece of Business podcast if you don't already. That's all I got to say about that one. Hey!
Oh!
Big Hacksaw Jim Duggan all the way to the ring here. Got a board.
Yeah, I suppose if you're going to have it, yourself a fit playing the older me, it'd have to be Jaden Smith playing the tree climbing younger.
Maybe we're still casting that part. maybe one of the kids from Stranger Things. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see where.
Yeah,
who then grows up to be Idris Elba? I'm telling you, it's you can't miss.
Yeah.
What a gimmick.
Speaking of what a gimmick, look at this guy. Something, Duggan. You need here. Have this board.
I heard that he went out to the ring and there was like a board on the ground. He picked it up and it gave him a splinter and he went, oh, and all of a sudden that became his gimmick. I thought that's what happened.
Hey, whatever, man. It got over. Here we go with Virgil, $1 million man, and Andre.
Here we go. The opening match of the WWF title tournament. Here we go.
Really, when you look at the matches in this tournament, it's crazy. I mean, you know, Duggan and DiBiase were no strangers. I mean, they were a part of the same faction in Mid-South when they were the Rat Pack.
That's the knowledge that I did not know. So.
Oh, yeah. They were Duggan and DiBiase and Matt Bourne, who, of course, went on to be Doink the Clown.
My best version of Joint the Clown, the one that creeped out.
Yes, the best.
The most.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that I drafted.
Sure.
The one that Glenn drafted. Absolutely. You did.
But these two have been teammates and opponents for years and years before their time here in New York.
Virgil's always had a really big opponent, too, and that is the people at Olive Garden because he left those little breadsticks, and whenever they see him, like, fuck, Virgil's here again. Get the fuck money.
He's just trying to get that meat sauce.
All about that meat sauce. Did you guys hear, like, this was years ago, but he was supposed to have a trick or meat sauce match with Joey Janela at some independent show, and I don't even remember where it was, but he ended up, like, no-showing, too, and then he ended up fighting. I don't know what a trick or meat sauce match is, and now we'll never know, I guess.
No. I didn't want to.
I don't think anybody needs to know what that is.
No, I don't think so either. Lock up here. Look at these hosses. If you didn't know, Jim Duggan's thighs and my thighs are the same color white, just so you know.
Are they the same size?
No. If you put both of my legs together, it wouldn't be one of those, pals. No, sir. Uh-oh.
Is there any... Oh, here we go. Big atomic drop.
Ooh. Oh, and that was an amazing sell. That was amazing.
That's a hell of a bump for 1988.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a top rope.
That was fucking amazing. I did not expect to see that. I really didn't.
Mm.
So how perfect was Ted DiBiase to play that part, to play the Million Dollar Man?
Oh,
just perfect.
He's still playing it now. He's still
playing it now. Yeah, he's still on our TVs now, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's still running that same gimmick, and he's still just as good at it now as he was back then.
And didn't he take a decent bump from Eli Drake as well for an old man?
Yeah, absolutely he did. He really did, yeah, no doubt. And now Cameron Grimes is going to be his Virgil, so about that.
Yep.
Duggan has really been taking it to DiBiase here. DiBiase probably one of the favorites to win this tournament. He's being beaten down by Big Jim Duggan here. This referee looks like Eddie Munster all grown up. Very disheveled.
That referee has done some things. Let's just put it that way.
he
knows some things.
I know all the referees, but I have no idea who Eddie Munster is. I don't know. I just call him Eddie Munster because that's what he looks like.
It's interesting, back then, even in WWF, the referees were wearing shirts and bow ties, hadn't gone to the black and white stripes yet.
Yep. I bring bow ties back on referees in 2021. Can we get live fans back? Can we get bow ties on referees, please?
Oh, it'd be good.
I'd love it.
With some of the outfits that we see the British referees wearing from back in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, yeah. I remember on that British Bulldog match, he was very dressed up. He's like, I look good, but I'm sweating like a motherfucker out here. And like, they used to try to get the referees over. Like, they would say, referee this or this match. They never say the referees' names.
I know. I agree.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't make sense because if you're boxing, legitimate boxing, MMA, I believe they all still announce the referee, tell you who it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the UFC, they show the two fighters, and then they tell you who the fucking referee is. So,
there you go.
But I guess we don't want to get the referees over, pal. They're just wearing stripes.
Some referees try too hard to get themselves over.
That's true. That's true.
Looking at you, Aubrey.
See, maybe that's like, you know, like I just want to know your name, but I don't want to see you, whatever.
Andre has not moved. This has been a very good match. And, you know, like I said, Andre, is somebody check him. Is he alive? We need a welfare check on the giant.
Sweet chin music. He's still up there. Uh-oh. He's going to throw
it. Right up the band.
Super kick. That's it. Show's over. We're shutting it down. There's not going to be better than this. No leg slap needed on that super kick.
That's
you know
right.
What I mean.
Call him a spot right there.
Big suplex. Boom. And he grabbed a whole bunch of Ted DiBiase's package when they did it. Oh, here we go. Oh,
there's Andre. He hadn't moved. That's why he hadn't moved. He was just lulling him to sleep.
Okay, the thing about this is, I'm like, Andre pretty much just punched Jim Duggan in the face. I'm the plain view of Eddie Munster here, and he didn't do anything about it. I just count the third, I guess. Ted DiBiase wins with a little bit of help from Andre the Giant, who's indeed alive.
That's right. He is alive.
he has come to life.
That's a good booking in this match, though. I mean, you give Duggan. Duggan gets all the offense. One cheap shot from the heel, Andre, and that's it.
That's right. And Ted DiBiase is moving on to the second round of the WWF title tournament. And Jim Duggan is pissed. If I was saying, I'd whip Eddie Munster's ass. I would fuck Eddie Munster up.
Well, he shouldn't have gotten his football stance so close to Andre. It's his own fault.
I guess that's a good point. But, like, watch. Eddie Munster is clearly, you can see him looking right at him. He punches him in the face, and Eddie's like, oh, I guess that's fine.
Oh, I see, but let me defend Eddie Munster here. Eddie Munster didn't see Andre pull his leg. All he saw was Duggan attacking Andre.
Andre. So,
so maybe he fucking deserved it. You're right.
Andre is the poor, defenseless Andre. Got his cheap shot in, and it was, here we go. You know, this is going to be good.
Oh, he's cutting his hair. Like, okay. Brutus Beefcake, he's a gigolo, right? That's what he's supposed to be?
He turns tricks in the barbershop. I don't know what he is. He's like the older version of Buff Bagwell, really.
He is. Looking at the map there, I thought Mean Gene was going to give us the weather forecast.
Jeremy, there's a hurricane headed your way.
No!
Amazing. And like he's going to cut somebody. That's not safe.
Right. Yeah, those aren't gimmick.
Imagine the place you've been getting your hair cut for years is shut down. You go to this new place, right? You walk in and the motherfucker's dressed like that. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. No, I'm out.
May or may not have white powder under his nose.
Yeah. It was funny that you said Buff Bagwell because like I take notes for this and I literally put in my notes. Is he a gigolo like Buff Bagwell?
Nice.
Oh, Dino Bravo's here. It's time for some shots. Yes, I know I'm gonna do that.
Speaking of problematic Canadians, Dino Bravo.
Do not smuggle cigarettes, kids.
No, do not try to smuggle cigarettes with the native peoples of Canada. It will not end well for you.
Got here with Frenchie Martin. I don't know much about Frenchie Martin. Not at all.
He's a guy that I should know more about, but I have to lay out of this one. I don't know as much about Frenchie Martin either.
I heard there was a gimmick he liked to pull at the airport where he would put a bunch of adult toys in a suitcase and then he would like wheel it along and it would fall over and all the stuff would fall out and all these people would be trying to help him pick up his, just to be a weirdo, I guess. I don't know.
That's what wrestlers would do back in the day. They wouldn't go back to their hotel rooms after the matches and play video games. They'd pull pranks like that.
I like when people say wrestlers should. I wish wrestlers went out and drank and got crazy like they used to. I was like, oh yeah, and died at 45. That was fun, right? That was great. Great times.
Hey, we're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time.
Just like Hillbilly Jim's Hall of Fame speech, The Rock. My God. We have buried Hillbilly Jim in this one. I'm sorry, Hillbilly Jim.
Good dude, but man, he couldn't take the go home cue on that thing for sure.
No, they should have brought Kane out. I was surprised. who do you got in this one, Jeremy? Who do you think's going to win? You think it's going to be Dino Bravo or The Rock down Morocco?
Oh, well, I think we are going to see the babyface Morocco go over here.
You know what that thing?
I like Morocco. I always like Morocco better than Bravo.
Well, I mean, you didn't. Glenn, what do you think? Who's gonna pick up the win in this one? Glenn's like sexting or something.
Sorry, I was looking. Yeah, no, his babyface goes over in this one.
Glenn was looking up the results so he could be a cheater. Is what he was doing. I know.
I was actually looking up Frenchie Martin.
Oh. Did you find any videos of him dropping adult toys all over the airport? Thank you for the iPod after dark.
But so he's apparently he's one of the Stu Hart alumni.
That makes sense. Well, the name like Frenchie Martin sounds about right.
Yes.
So that Dark Side of the Ring about Dino Bravo, they were talking about how he was such a big star in Canada, and I'm just like, how? This motherfucker was so boring when I was a kid. I was always like, oh God, this fucking Bravo guy. Look at him jump up and down. That's cool.
I think it was
when Jimmy Hart was his manager. Otherwise, there was nothing.
I think it's, with him in Canada, being French-Canadian, I think they just love their own so much that, he was super over with it with his home people.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's fair. No, not a lot of people in Canada. Not a lot of people in Canada get famous. Just like not a lot of people from Nebraska get famous. So when I see somebody from Nebraska get famous, I go, "Oh, that's my guy."
That's right. We hadn't said anything about superstar Graham out there on the outside.
Steroid Graham on the outside there. Is he still living?
Yes. I think Superstar is alive. I think.
How?
Maybe. I don't know.
In everybody's hearts and minds, he's definitely
alive. Yes, he's very much alive. Yes.
Yeah.
I like Frenchie Martin's hat. I think I'm going to get me a hat just like that. Also, he looks like he just came from painting a mural or something. Like, what the fuck was he doing before this? I don't understand.
Right. He looked like he was painting on Superstar's shirt is what he was doing.
That's
right. Yeah.
That's definitely what it was. He said, get over here, Superstar. Yeah. And get that shirt. I don't know why I would be Vince McMahon, but he did. That's it.
Everything's better in Vince McMahon voice.
The only thing that Vince didn't do to make him even more generically French, apart from making him look like a French artist, is hang up onions around his neck. He's got the smock.
That was an amazing sell. And then Morocco did the whole head through the top and the middle and top.
You don't see that anymore.
Uh-oh.
You'll see the pile driver anymore either. Boom.
You know what?
That was a good one.
This has been a really good match, too. You know, I mean, it's a fucking Bravo, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, but the guy, I mean, you know, he might be boring, but a guy can work. You know, I mean, he's a good worker.
That's true.
You know, guys are pros. They know what they're doing in here.
That's true.
That referee, Joey Morella.
Yep, R.I.P. to Joey Morella.
Yep.
Gorilla Monsoon, son. I don't think I figured that out until I was like 25. But
and where do you know he got absolutely zero of his father's size?
Right. Not at all.
Zero.
Not an inch. Not an inch.
His father needs to go and ask his mother some questions.
The milkman. Fucking milkman. Always the milkman. Big right hands here from Don Morocco. Now he's going to rip. I cannot fucking talk this morning. Holy shit, that looked like Tito Santana flying across.
That's right. The flying burrito.
Arriba! I think we're going to see, well, not with you guys, but later in the show when I watch it with somebody else, we're going to see some Tito Santana. Oh, no!
He just happened to be right there.
I want to say Bravo pulled him in front of pulled the referee in front of him, I want to say. I like how Morocco, to try to revive the referee, just punched him in the back and said, what are you doing right now, dumbass?
Right. Yeah,
get up. Wake up.
We go, whoa. See? He tried to. Dino thought he was counting the three count on his back.
That's how they do it in French Canada. I don't know. I heard it. So Dino Bravo thinks he won, but he didn't. He's losing by disqualification
to the ref, Don Morocco.
You are one for one on the prediction, fellas. Prediction, fellas. Good work.
You imagine if they pulled that finish now? Twitter would burn.
Oh, no.
It would collapse. It would collapse into a black hole. Yes. Under the sheer weight of self-righteousness, yes.
Forget about it.
Oh, you're right. Dino did pull him in front. Yeah, okay.
Fucking Dino Bravo. You can't ever trust that guy. Makes you want to shoot imagine 17 him, yeah. heads.
Like, yeah, to Glenn's, to Glenn's point, imagine now a referee enforcing the rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be terrible?
Ugh.
Oh, big shot. What an amazing camera shot here at the fucking highway. Like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, they had to zoom into that because they weren't hanging over the building anyway. They couldn't have found a better shot. Euchre. Another one. This one's going to be good. I see the guitar. We know who this is.
Every time I see Honky Tonk Man, I just have to sing that song. I don't know why, but I do.
Yeah.
It's the Honky Tonk Man.
That's a classic entrance music.
Here's the mouth of the South. Mm-hmm.
Do you take offense to that, Jeremy? Would you like to challenge Jimmy Hart to the mouth of the South?
Absolutely not. No. Nobody's taking that honor away from old Jimmy.
You're absolutely right.
No,
definitely not. Oh, he just touched Euchre's hair. He said, look here, bitch, I'll hit you with a baseball bat. Speaking
of, Hulk, was a great IC champion.
Probably the greatest of all time, right? That's what they say.
Could be.
Have you seen him nowadays? He's even more handsome now than he used to be.
Oh, he's a redneck Santa Claus. He's awesome.
Fuck yeah, he is.
He is awesome.
You know what? Yeah, I was just thinking about this earlier. This isn't going to come out until way after this, but we got some pretty good soccer action going on this weekend, don't we?
Oh, my goodness. We've got three big matches this weekend.
I am excited.
Yeah, we got that Copa America final tonight. We got the U.S. national team taking on Haiti.
On Sunday,
and of course, and then tomorrow also. What's happening tomorrow? Remind me, Glenn.
I think there might be a bunch of Englishmen playing football against a bunch of Italians.
Is it going to be a brawl? Is there going to be a post-match brawl?
I doubt it. This got a whiter than white.
Those English fans turned heel during this tournament.
They're booing my national anthem.
They're booing national anthems. They were shooting laser beams into the goalie's eyes.
I'll tell you what. That is disgusting on both parts. That's what I'm going to say. I can't understand why they do it. Why they boo national anthems, I don't know. There's no point to it.
No, it's just disrespectful.
Speaking of disrespectful and disgusting, Ricky's got Little Dragon out here.
Why did he always drag his family into these things?
I've heard that
Bonnie Steamboat.
I've heard his wife would make him do it. She was really adamant on him doing it. That's what I heard.
He probably didn't want to take, especially when he was in the NWA against Ric Flair. She didn't want him around him without her keeping an eye on him.
She was very involved, for sure.
She said, that handsome son of a bitch, he ain't going nowhere without me and this baby. I'll tell you that right now.
That's
right. And I'm going to divorce him years later, and I'm keeping that fucking last name, too. He's going to have to be Rick Dragon is going to have to be his name.
Steamboat.
Oh, wait.
Oh, it's Chris Jericho. Oh, you're right.
It's Greg Bayer or Valentine. My bad. I don't see any difference.
That's where he got that coat, that jacket from, obviously.
But, I mean, definitely. Oh, a big hug here. That's Jimmy Hart really cares about his guys. A lot of heart. Giving him a hug and shit.
That's right.
I wouldn't fucking hug Chris Jericho if he was fucking Eva Marie. Anyway.
Well. See, this is another match again, like the Duggan and DiBiase match. This is another one where these two have been wrestling together and as opponents forever by now. These two were all over the Mid-Atlantic territory at the same time. So these two, you're gonna have a good match here because these guys have worked together so much.
I mean, and two guys that could probably have a match with anyone, especially during I mean, and Greg too. I mean, people don't look back on Greg Hammer Valentine and think, you know, great wrestler. But I mean, he's definitely a solid wrestler. You can't say he wasn't.
He was way over when he and Flair were the tag team champions, NWA tag team champions. They were way over. I mean, Valentine was every bit Flair's equal at that point. And then, you know, Flair passed him up, of course.
Right, right. Well, I mean, Greg's a little older. Is Greg
he might be a little bit. I mean, maybe not much, but.
A couple years, maybe.
Yeah.
So is it true when Greg first came in, he teamed with his father, but he was supposed to be his father's brother, correct?
They did not bill him as his son, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Oh, look at this. Ricky the Dragon.
The athleticism.
I mean, other than the promo skills not being great, if you pop Ricky Steamboat right now in today's wrestling, he would be still amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely.
Absolutely.
He's another one that some people like Bret Hart would have, some people who don't know what they're talking about would call boring. But, I mean, come on.
Right. Come on.
Anybody that reckons that Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is boring, I'd make them sit and watch the 2 hours of every time that him and Ric Flair had that. Yes. Was it 3 championship yeah. matches for the NWA yep. title?
Yep. Yep. The one in Chicago, the 2 out of 3 falls in New Orleans, and then the last match at I can't remember what show that was, but yeah, those are 3 great fucking matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had two guys that could have matches with brooms fighting each other. It couldn't go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that maybe Steamboat might not have been Flair's greatest rival, but definitely Flair's greatest feud was Ricky Steamboat. At least for me, it's got to be the Ricky Steamboat feud, because those matches were just top of the mark.
And it wasn't just the matches as well. It was the whole story that was being told. I know I alluded to it and made fun of it. Ooh. But it was that Flair was having a go at his family and the international playboy against the family man and the whole thing. It was...
Yeah. And that's crazy because, like, those three matches they had is, you know, and they were great, obviously. But they worked house show matches together forever during that time. And you can find... There's not a ton of it, but you can find some poorly shot house show footage of some of their matches during that time. And they're every bit as good, if not better, than those 3 that they had on pay-per-view. Yeah. So, I mean, they were doing that 4 or 5 nights a week. You know, it's crazy.
Definitely. So, I got a trivia question. I'm going to throw this one at Jeremy. Are you ready for a trivia question?
No, but let's do it.
Which former WWF Tag Team Champion is Greg the Hammer Valentine's brother-in-law? Is it A, Ric Flair, B, I don't know why, B is a stupid answer. I don't know why I put that in there. Jim the Anvil Neidhart, I made that one up. C, Brian Knobbs, or D, is it Ricky Steamboat?
I'm going to say it's Brian Knobbs.
You are correct.
It's Brian Knobbs.
Greg's sister, Tony. And yeah. She seems to have very low standards, is all. I'm just fucking saying.
You know, there's somebody out there for everybody.
There's an ass for every seat.
There you go.
Greg the Hammer, he's really hammering at the
floor. That's right. See, he loaded up his chop fist, you see. That makes the blow more impactful.
Definitely. I mean, if you don't do that, then what are you even throwing a chop for?
That's right.
You
know what I mean? That's right.
I mean, you guys know Ricky Steamboat could have been a great heel if he had just gone by his real name of Richard Blood. He could have been Dick Blood all over the world.
Dick Blood. I mean, come on.
You can't go wrong with that, can you, really?
No, yeah, Blood. Well, you can go wrong with Dick Blood. Yeah, that could go way wrong.
You are correct.
But is Steamboat one of the only people that never worked heel? You know, was he... I think he was always the babyface his whole career. Very few times has that happened.
Definitely. Yeah, I don't think he ever worked heel. But if you would have kept that name, Dick Blood, it would have been
Dick Blood.
Coming down the aisle from Blood Creek, Michigan. It's Dick Blood. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Too bad he was already established as Steamboat, because man, Vince would have had a field day with that.
Oh, yeah. People cutting promos on him about being able to go to the clinic to clear it up and all sorts.
This next one. It's everywhere, pal. Yeah. We'll make him a hillbilly. Try these overalls. Oh, Vince, what a weirdo.
Ooh, see, now this is a good one too here. You know, not like they do now where they just lightly shove each other backwards with forearms. You know, these two are going at it, selling the shots and registering the shots. And a great sell by Valentine there, falling face first.
One's either going to take piss or get another beer, one or the other.
Oh, there you go.
So, I mean, people say this is one of the worst WrestleManias, but we've seen a great battle royal. And 3 amazing matches thus far. So tell me how terrible it is again.
Right. And, some people, whether you like it or not, I mean, every one of these matches ended with an angle.
That's true.
The Battle Royal ended with the babyface nod towards Bret Hart, and he got back at Bad News Brown. You had Duggan getting hammered by Andre, so they could come back with that later if they wanted to.
You know, never want to get hammered by Andre.
Never want to get hammered by Andre.
Or with him.
Yikes. But nobody could get hammered with him. You would actually be dead before he got hammered.
On my WrestleMania 4 bingo card, I did not have Chris Jericho / Greg Valentine jumping off the top rope, which just happened moments ago. So, I want to put that out there. I did not see that coming. It looked like Rey Mysterio out there. Did you see that?
Oh, my God.
Insane.
1988, man. That's a high spot.
Going up the sky.
He should have had the hammer written on the front of his tights, not the back.
Oh, definitely.
Hammer dick before it's time.
There you go. Hammer dick.
Shout out to Richard Holliday, who was the first ever interview that we ever did on a work in progress. Shout out to Richard Holliday.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm. Good guy. Nice guy.
I expect big things from Mr. Holliday.
Absolutely. I'm hoping to see him in, you know, NXT someday. I need to start watching that MLW. I need to start watching that.
Well, they're having their battle riot is going to be free, I believe, to watch.
What are they on Access? I mean, are they on the same channel that Impact is on? Is what I'm asking, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they're free to view on. Oh,
it's on YouTube, right?
That was a bit heelish from Ricky.
It was. That was Dick Blood's
manhandling the referee like that.
Can only take so much, though.
That's true. And here we go. Up to the top rope now, Ricky Steamboat. I want to say this is the best match we've seen thus far. Really good stuff. One, two, three.
There you go. Roll through, finish.
Ricky thinks he got the tights here. Me and Steve once watched Battle Bowl, the pay-per-view for a show, and Ricky Steamboat was livid when two combatants in there wanted to shake hands. He was livid. He hated sportsmanship. He was so pissed. They tried to shake hands. I don't know who it was, but he was so mad that they tried to shake hands. He was just like, "You don't shake hands. Why are we doing it? Why are you shaking his hand?" He was so mad.
I'm never going to get the Chris Jericho comparison out of my head now.
Every time I see him, I hate Chris Jericho. And on that note, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And on that note, we are going to shut it down for episode one here on Giggle Mania. That was a hell of a lot of fun, as it always is. Thank you guys for joining us. Jeremy, why don't you let us know where we can follow Piece of Business on Twitter and where we can follow you at and all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Piece of Business Podcast at Piece of Business on Twitter. Give us a follow. Give us a subscription. Subscribe and all your favorite podcast gimmicks. We're available. We're out there. I think tomorrow, Glenn, we are doing episode 40. Is that right?
Yep. It's an even one. It shows.
It's an even number, so that means I pick the match for tomorrow. And by the time anybody sees this, we'll be way past episode 40. But anyway, go back and give us a follow. Check out the show. Look back in our back catalog. We try to pick matches to watch over a wide variety of styles and genres and eras. So no matter what type of wrestling you are into, you will find something that you like at Piece of Business Podcast. And of course, at GA Russell Nutt, Glenn Abbott, the co-host, the heart and soul and the experience of the Piece of Business Podcast. And when I say experience, I mean it's because he's old.
Glenn, old.
Tell the people anything I'm forgetting.
Instagram. Piece of Business on Instagram. I'm mainly just posting up links to the show and that sort of thing on there. So, and the odd picture. If we are getting coming up, well, by the time you people listen to this, in the next couple of weeks, we will be kicking a live report from SmackDown.
Yeah, that is correct. I am going to be in attendance at SmackDown less than 1 week from today.
Nice.
Cannot wait. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. Bringing my daughter, who is a surprise birthday present. She and I share the same birthday, so I'm going to tell her that it is a surprise birthday present for her, but we really know I'm just working. It's all about me.
It's a not-so-surprise present. That's smart. That's right. That is very smart. And there's another thing that you forgot about Piece of Business Podcast. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I, in the reigning, defending Piece of Business pay-per-view podcast champion, I thought you were going to leave that part out, but I had to throw it in.
Well, I meant to leave that part out, but thank I guess you this for is your show, it. So...
You don't have to pat me on the back. I'll pat myself.
That's what you said.
Blow your own trumpet, toot, toot.
That's right. I will blow my own horn. Oh, that sounded naughty. Anywho, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Gigamania. Thanks to my friends Jeremy and Glenn for joining me. Hopefully we can do this at least once a month for you guys, because this is just too much fun.
It is fun. We appreciate you asking us, and we appreciate the AWIP rub, that's for sure.
Anytime, pals. Well, thanks, guys, and we will catch you up. You got something else you want to add, Glenn? I'm sorry.
Of course, Money in the Bank weekend, you'll be back on.
That's right. Then.
Defending your title.
And I'll be running away with the belt again. It was a technicality last time, but I still technically am the champion.
Just like Vince had to take his belt back from Brett, we have to take our belt back from you. That's all I'm going to say.
One way or another. One way or another, it's coming home.
So, I pick the Hollywood Blondes and then pick Stone Cold Steve Austin in the POV draft. So.
That's
yikes.
It just adds to the lore. adds to the draft lore.
Thanks to everybody for listening, and we will catch you down the road. What do you think www.peacock.com was before it became a television network?
Yeah.
That's a fucking porn site before. I guarantee it.
It has to be.